Welcome to Crossroads Connection. This is a show all about having conversations surrounding life, ministry, and culture. I want to say a quick thank you to our friends at the Truth Network for airing this program. And thank you for listening today. I am Tyler. I'm joined, as always, by Jamie and Andy. How are you both doing?
Hey, I'm doing really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Andy, how are you?
Good. I love the opportunity once again to be here on a Saturday for the radio. And thank you to everybody who are listening right now, wherever you're listening from. It's been an interesting journey that we've all been on. And so hopefully this next little bit here will be a great encouragement to everybody listening. So thank you, Tyler, for being here as well. You always thank us. So thank you for being here.
I am touched. I really am, guys. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
You're just not the smooth voice intro guy. You're a key part of this team.
More than that.
Wow.
Yeah, you're a key part of this team. Very integral part. Nobody else could say welcome to Crossroads like you.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Very good to have you here. So, see, if anything, you know, Crossroads Connection is all about connecting. So we're connecting to your heart right now, Tyler.
You really are. I am touched.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure people listening right now are going, "What is going on?" But here we are. Yes. So we are. Glad. And Jamie, how you been doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, guys.
You've been doing good?
Yeah.
And still enjoying the summertime?
Still enjoying the summertime. I'm kind of getting nervous that the pool has been my big thing all summer. Yep. And I'm like, what am I going to do when the fall hits? And
well, the good thing about living here is that most pools are open pretty long into the fall.
Yeah.
So you got some time.
Okay, good. Thanks.
You got some time. But it's been a hot couple of weeks here.
Ugh. Very hot.
We are in very hot summer mode right now.
Yeah.
So. But it's good. And we're excited about everything going on at the church. And, you know, this is a very interesting thing. We talk about this often. And I bring this up because I'm sure that whoever's listening now, we're all dealing with what does our life look like in phasing, reopening, and coming back to some sort of norm and really coming out of this, realizing what stuff has changed, what stuff's the same.
Yeah.
You know, and everything in between. So it's kind of one of those times where, you know, we're just grateful to be able to, we started church back up a few weeks ago on a Sunday. It looks a little different. And I know a lot of our pastor and church friends in the area are all starting to reemerge. And so we're hoping that that will continue to happen very safely and in a very honorable way. But it's an interesting time. You know, it's transformation, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of transformation, we as a church have been walking through reading the Bible from, you know, Genesis to Revelation. And we've called that the year of transformation 2020. And your sermons have been following along each week with where we are reading in the Bible. So recently you preached a sermon of the same. Can you let us know what that's all about?
Yeah, I've enjoyed, we've been saying this always. In fact, whether you're part of Crossroads or not, I just encourage everybody just to take a year and read through the Bible. And whether you do a formal plan or a canonical plan or any kind of plan that you are, because that Word of God is so completely transformational. And I think we've all said this on this program almost every week for the last 4 months especially, and that is how important it's been to be grounded in Scripture when the rest of the world is in chaos, that we've got this anchor in Scripture and we got this anchor in who Christ is that's found in Scripture. So for me, and I think for a lot of people in our church, it really has been a very healthy journey in transformation based in Scripture. I don't know what I would do or feel if I wasn't consuming Scripture like we are. You know, I mean, seriously, it's kind of like, it's that lifeline of encouragement and support. And I want to put a little plug, if you're listening and maybe you're reading through the Bible, or maybe you haven't even read the Bible before, maybe you just came across this channel and you're just listening to us right now, I would highly, highly recommend that you stop whatever you're doing and read the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes. Those two books back to back are such a powerful, powerful, powerful summary of wisdom and practicality, things that you can implement. And so as Jamie, as you were saying, we've been reading through the Bible and then we are preaching out of what we've read that week. So not that long ago, we were in the book of Proverbs. And as I was rereading through it, praying about what to speak on and what to preach on, it's like every chapter and every verse, I'm like, ooh, I want to preach on that. Ooh, I want to preach on that. And we just kind of kept going through it. And it was actually very difficult. Proverbs has been the most difficult book to preach out of because it has so much to talk about, so much wisdom found in that book. And Ecclesiastes was very similar. Now, Ecclesiastes was a little easier because many times it's just, you know, everything's vain and vanity and everything's meaningless.
Yeah.
But even there were so many good proverbs and practicality found within there. So anyway, so back to the sermon we preached recently that I wanted to just talk about a little bit, and you both can feel free to jump in as well in this conversation, and hopefully it would encourage people listening now. And that was a title I gave it was Practical Proverbs,
right,
which is a pretty obvious title, but the reason I wanted to call it Practical Proverbs was just to reinforce the fact that the book of Proverbs is very practical, that it's not just written by Solomon thousands of years ago that sits on a dusty shelf. Those Proverbs are so, there's 900 basically Proverbs in that book, and those Proverbs are so incredibly practical for today. And I preached out of Proverbs chapter 6, specifically verses 16 to 19, and I preached out of that because that passage caught my attention, like so many people who read that passage, because it starts off with, there are six things that God hates, and there are seven that are an abomination to him. And I don't know about both of you or people listening right now, but if God says that he hates something and that something's an abomination to him, I kind of want to know what those are, because I want to make sure I'm not doing right. I mean, seriously, like if God was sitting there and said, Tyler, there are six things that I absolutely hate, wouldn't you go like, hey, would you mind letting me know what those things are?
Like, it's like somebody will say one time, hey, if you're going to not do one thing, just don't do this one thing. Oh, wait, hang on, I'll tell you later. And you're like, wait, no, I got to know what that is.
Yeah. And then what, Jamie, what if God then said, but there's seven that is an abomination. Wouldn't you think, hey, let me get a piece of paper and write these down.
Need to know.
Because I don't want to do those things.
I want to do the opposite.
And see, that's the good point, Jamie. What you just said there is when I preach this message, I didn't want to just preach a message and say, hey, don't do these seven things. So what should I do?
What should I do?
Yep. Yeah. So if I shouldn't be prideful, then what should I do? Mm-hmm. If I shouldn't lie, then what should I do? Mm-hmm. If I shouldn't let my heart run to evil, what should I do, right? Mm-hmm. If I shouldn't be divisive in church or with believers, what should I do? So what I wanted to do was pay attention to the other side that you just said. Yeah. Okay, I know I shouldn't lie. Okay, I got it, right?
Right.
I shouldn't have pride. So then what can I do? And fascinating enough is even in these Proverbs, so what I did is I used the rest of the book of Proverbs to reinforce the positive blessing side, because the Proverbs, what's amazing about them is that it's not just a thing of wisdom to do or not do. There's actually blessings that are wrapped into when we follow God's plan, that there's blessings behind that. So I wanted people to understand when we don't do those things, that's one part of it, but I have to not do that and then come back and do the good. So one of those six things is to run away from, like, don't run towards evil, right? Which is fine. Like, we kind of know I shouldn't run towards evil things, but instead, what should I do? I should cling to good things then, right? I shouldn't set my heart on evil desires or plans. So what should I do? I should set my heart on the kingdom of God and his plans. And then there's a lifestyle that goes with that. But the one thing I want to just encourage here as we wrap up this time, because I know we got a special guest I cannot wait to talk to, is the seventh one. And that one's do not be divisive amongst believers. That one right now stuck out to me so powerfully, because right now there is so much divisiveness that happens amongst churches and Christians that we've got to be careful to make sure to guard ourselves. So it's not just about being divisive or speaking bad things. It's about, well, then how do I have oneness and unity? And that's my hope for us. I hope that churches and Christians listening now will have that oneness and unity.
Yeah, I love it. We need to hear more about that right now, for sure. But let's jump over to our conversation, because we do have a special guest today. It's Dallas Bonavita from Note in the Pocket, which is an incredible ministry serving children here in Wake County Schools. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll jump into our conversation with Dallas.
Perhaps you've asked yourself this question. Are you running the business, or is the business running you? How might your teams grow if your teams were driving the business forward instead of you? You are sitting on a wealth of untapped opportunity. It takes courage to learn how to create a culture where your people are truly empowered to own their seats. My name's Cheryl Scanlon, business and executive coach. Working together, we'll go straight to your core challenges to sort through competing demands and realign to your highest priorities for measurable results. Visit c3advantage.net. That's c3advantage.net.
Hey, and we're back from the break with our very special guest, Dallas Bonavita, who is the executive director from Note in the Pocket. Dallas, so excited to talk to you. Welcome to the program. So grateful that you made time for us today, and glad you're here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Note in the Pocket, what I know of it, and I know a little bit about it, I am so in love with this ministry and what's happening, and I am so excited for people listening right now on this program to hear from you about Note in the Pocket. But before we jump into that, just give a quick bio of who Dallas is and how you actually ended up as the executive director of Note in the Pocket.
Well, I read about this Note in the Pocket at our in our church bulletin. They were doing a collection through the church and the school for clothes for students in need. And I asked if I could help. One of the first things that I learned was that there were 48,881 students at the time identified in Wake County as living in poverty.
Wow.
And immediately I started crying. Wow. I just couldn't wrap my head around that number. So I started to help. So I found it through my church, and very important to me to help take care of children. My family and I have lived in Raleigh for over 20 years and invested in the school system. And it's just a natural fit for me. I just started out as a volunteer and then worked my way up.
That's amazing. So say that number again. That's a huge number.
In 2012, the number was 48,881 students identified as living in crisis. And that number came from the free and reduced lunch number.
Right. Yep. So tell everybody what is Note in the Pocket, first of all, and what's the vision of the ministry?
Sure. Well, Note in the Pocket was created because of a kindergarten teacher realized that her students, the majority of them who were living in poverty, were coming to school not dressed for the weather. Their clothes were threadbare. They didn't have what they needed. They didn't feel confident. They were uncomfortable. And it really stemmed from that. It started out with just coats, and we quickly learned that children need everything. People would be really heartbroken to know how many children go to school without underwear. And that's not okay. Children need to be comfortable. And you may not know that the other kids don't know they're not wearing underwear, but they know.
Yeah.
And what that does to their self-value and their ability to concentrate in school, it's devastating. So we started out helping students, and it has grown to helping the whole family, because we've learned that if you can support the whole family, it helps that student better. So went from coats to clothes for the student to everyone in the home. And in 2012, we really started to get organized. It started out as a family ministry, and we got organized. We got our 501c3, got our game plan together, served 1,000 people that year, and decided we were going to serve an extra 500 people every year. Here it is, 2020, and our goal for this year is to serve 5,000 people.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And how many of you served so far?
Well, in 2019, we served 4,578 individuals, mostly children.
Yeah. That's such an amazing thing. I don't think people really realize how important it is for kids to feel good just about what they're wearing and versus other kids in the area. And so you already kind of spoke to it, but can you just drill down a little bit more on why that's so important for kids and families to have access to Note in the Pocket?
Absolutely. Well, you think we know as adults, when we get up and we put on clothes that we feel good and we go out into the world and we feel great and we do better. The confidence that clothes bring to us, that dress for success feeling that helps us be successful. Why haven't we put that together that our children need the same thing? So kids can be mean. Sometimes they're mean just to put the people not looking at them. Let's have them look at somebody else. But a lot of the students that we take care of are just trying to live under the radar. They don't want anybody to notice them because they don't want to draw attention to that their clothes don't fit and that their shoes are uncomfortable, and that they're not wearing the styles that everyone else is wearing. And sadly, a great percentage of the children that Note in the Pocket serves, they don't think that their life will ever be better than what it is right now.
Wow.
So what we have found is that when you can give them a mini wardrobe of clothes, it changes their whole self-perception and they get this feeling of confidence and I look good and I am smart and I can do this. And you don't have to clothe them forever, but they have to have that first feeling of, wow, this is what this feels like. You can't take that away. Yeah. Once they feel confident, then they want to feel that again. That's when they figure out, if I do good in school, maybe this is in my control.
Yeah. That's such a powerful realization, because I think many people that are listening right now have probably never thought about that. I mean, we got closets full of clothes and shoes and dressers, and we know that there's poverty. We know that there's need out there, but you don't really sometimes think that it's right here in the own backyard and in our own kids' schools. And you know, you just never know that. So how does it work? How does a kid or a family find out about Note in the Pocket? Then walk me through what's that process like for them to come and actually get clothes or get shoes? How's that all work?
Well, we work with Wake County Public School System and a dozen agencies that work with families in financial crisis. So we are considered a third-party provider. We don't do direct services just because the need is so great.
Yeah.
So if we were to have families that came and shopped, we would be able to help just a fraction of the number that we do. And one thing families have to do when they go request services, whether it's with a school social worker or with an agency, they have to tell their story over and over. And there is trauma involved with having to relive that and to ask for help and to tell that story again and again. So we're very intentional that we don't put them through that. They're already working with the schools and the agencies. We let them pre-qualify them. They'll get a list of the sizes that everyone in the home needs. And then it's very anonymous. We don't have anyone's names. We don't. Wow. We have the grade. We have their age, boy, you know, male, female, and then all the sizes. We package and we deliver to the school or the agency that requests the clothes. And then the school social worker will deliver when they do a home visit. We don't have any children getting on a school bus with a Note in the Pocket bag, because we deliver clothes with dignity and love. Mm. And we don't want them to feel like this is charity. I want it to feel like these are kind of clothes from a cousin or somebody that cares about me. So the quality has to be really good.
Yeah.
They don't get to pick the clothes. So if they take things out that they may not have necessarily picked for themselves, but it's really good quality and the shoes are nice and everything looks really new, then it's a gift. It's not charity. Then this is special.
Yeah. And that's such a unique way of doing that, because I think a lot of people, when they first probably heard of what you were doing, they think, well, people just come in, pick out clothes and they leave. But I love how you are caring for their emotional health too. And sure. And you don't want more trauma. And so let me just back up a little bit, make sure we all heard and understand that. So you all work with Wake County School and other agencies. They basically provide you with just details about clothing and boy, girl grades. You all package it up, give it back to them, then they deliver it. So there's a personal touch on the other end, but it allows you all to do this. And I like to use that word dignity. I think that's an important word. You know, they're not carrying backpacks saying, hey, I got all my clothes from some agency, you know, and here right. we go. So I'm sure that you've got a bunch of stories and testimonies that you've seen from what you all are doing. It's very, I know the first time I heard this, it really breaks your heart and you get emotional when you first hear about this, because you don't, it's one of those things you just don't think about. You just don't, and it takes people like you, wonderful people like you, who did think about that and did see it and are doing something about it. So what is a good story or testimony that just stands out to you that would just even paint the picture even more for all the listeners right now?
Well, and this is my current favorite one. We had a mother who was telling us, I wish you could have seen my son after he had received his clothes from Note in the Pocket. And he was walking to the bus stop. And she said, I was almost confused because I didn't realize how tall he was, because he never stood up straight. He never had his head up high. But as he was walking to the bus stop and he was standing up tall, and she said, it just broke my heart. He was so proud of how he was excited to go to school. And he came home that night and he said, I answered a question in class today and I got it right. Wow. And I like how that felt. And this was a kid who never spoke in class. And teachers will tell us the change is miraculous. They make friends in class. and you make a friend in class who's good at math, you have somebody that you can talk to, that you can share homework with, and it helps with their emotional, social, physical, and educational development. So there's so much more than just being happy to get a new pair of shoes.
Yeah. How about that? That's such a great visual. I love that visual of a little kid walking so hunched over typically. And now all of a sudden he's got that little pride and dignity is kind of stepping in, and it just ripple effects. It's just leading to other things that are happening in his life. So how has COVID and everything either changed or identified different needs for you all in your ministry, or has it even affected you at all? Like what's been the effect on Note in the Pocket because of everything going on in the last couple months?
Well, before COVID, I tell people we're like a three-legged stool. We have to have equal, you know, we have to have financial support. We have to have volunteers. We have to have clothing donations coming in. And all of those things were clicking at the same pace. Everything was growing. Our numbers were great. Last year, we had over 2,400 volunteers. We had over 200,000 pounds of clothing donated. Things were rolling. COVID happened. And like the rest of the world, everything came to a grinding halt.
Right.
And despite the fact that we're essential services, our ability to deliver clothes just was greatly reduced. So we continued to do that while we could. Now the doors have opened back up. Clothing is coming in. Everybody's been cleaning out their closet, which has been fantastic. The space that we had was no longer enough. You can only have a certain number of people in the building. We're used to having 25, 30 people working nonstop. And now we can only have 5 volunteers processing all these clothes. Right.
And that's because of social distancing guidelines?
Exactly.
Okay. Yep.
So happily, Crossroads has allowed us to use space that was not being used, you know, temporarily, so that we could expand our volunteer social distancing. We have 21 tables in this great room, so everybody has their 6 to 8 foot distance. They have their own stations. The clothes are coming in beyond what we expected. The volunteers have a safe place to come, but we're still having trouble with distribution because there's not an easy way. The school social workers are not allowed to do their home visits. We've gotten really creative, and we're working with a lot of agencies that are helping with food. You have to have the food. And so we will have, they'll come, the families will come and they'll get their food. And then we have another section of the gym or auditorium where they can also socially distance, go and like shop for free and get what you need. Because all while we were sheltering, children continued to grow.
Yep.
Seasons changed.
Yeah.
And now there's nowhere to go get the clothes that they need now that things that they have no longer fit. So we are struggling to find ways to, we have more clothes and more resources than we've ever had and are just waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell us how to reach them.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully get back to fall, and hopefully we'll be able to get back into school and things get back to somewhat of a norm from before. So you kind of touched on it a little bit. What's next for Note in the Pocket as you look? I know for us as a church, it's hard to plan more than just a few weeks out because things keep changing and restrictions keep changing, but we still have a vision and a mission to try to reach the triangle. And so you all still have a vision and a mission, but what's next for Note in the Pocket as you look to the future?
Well, even before all of this, our goals were to, one, learn how to expand our services so that we could better take care of Wake County. You know, most people don't realize that Wake County Public School System is the largest school district in North Carolina.
Yep.
It's the 15th largest in the United States. And as we continue to develop to serve more and more and more, how to do that better, we would also eventually like to start branching out to serve the triangle. So branching into Durham and in Chapel Hill, so that we are positioned to be able to replicate our services in other school districts in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so people listening right now, how can they get involved if there's any place for them right now? But how can they get involved and help support, whether it's financially or with themselves or resources? What's the best way to do that?
Well, definitely visit our website. There's tons of information there, www.noteinthepocket.org. Financially, as little as $12 a month, you could be a Confidence Club member. $12 over 12 months is reaches $140 is what it costs us to provide a whole mini wardrobe of clothes for a child. So you could sponsor a child for $140 or join our $12 a month club. Clothing donations are always needed, and our website will tell you how we can do that. And we have volunteer opportunities both on-site and from home. So there's a lot of people aren't ready to come volunteer on-site yet. Right. But if they can pick up clothes and sort them by season and size at home, that helps us tremendously. Or, you know, just skill-based, if you have something that you're really good at that would help us grow our program, we would love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, Dallas, thank you so incredibly much for what you do for our county and really our kids and families. We're a big fan of Note in the Pocket. So if you're listening right now, wherever you're listening from, make sure you check out Note in the Pocket. And one more time, Dallas, give us the website one more time.
It's noteinthepocket.org.
There you go. Dallas, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Thank you for joining and listening to our program today. And thank you to Crossroads Fellowship and the Truth Network for making this show possible. You can find out more information about Crossroads Fellowship at crossroads.org. If this show has impacted you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at info@crossroads.org. Thank you to C3 Advantage for sponsoring this program. We look forward to having you join us on the next show.
Your success as a leader hinges upon buy-in from your teams, clear and consistent communication from you, and strategic delegation. My name's Cheryl Scanlon. C3 Advantage helps you steward your most valuable resource well, improve retention, grow employee engagement, and generate higher team and individual ownership. The success of your organization begins with you and depends on your team. Go deeper as a leader and watch your organization go further. Visit C3Advantage.net at C3Advantage.net.